This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. How cautious must President Obama be during this trip through Asia this week? The state-controlled China Daily newspaper warned that the U.S. and Vietnam must not spark a regional tinderbox. That's a quote after the lifting of the 50-year-old U.S. arms embargo announced by the president earlier this week. But the emergence of China has pushed the U.S. and Vietnam together. And an alliance between Hanoi and Washington, D.C. is not as threatening today in the way it might have been in the past. Joining me from Singapore is David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
You know, the trick for President Obama, and he's been very consistent on this since his first speeches about China, has been to try to make clear to the Chinese that they're going to have to play by what he calls global rules and what the Chinese regard as Western rules, and yet at the same time not feel like there's a containment strategy that is coming together here. And that's difficult on this trip. And on the one hand, he is wooing the Vietnamese and a communist government that was pretty standoffish until the Chinese started to reclaim those islands and militarize them. And all of a sudden, you saw Vietnamese leaders show up in the Oval Office. Now, for anybody who remembers the Vietnam War, the idea of people flying from Hanoi to go in and have an appointment with the president in the White House is pretty mind-blowing, right? At the same time, the president wanted to send a message to the Chinese that we've got a strategy, and that strategy is becoming clear. You may remember that a couple of years ago, he announced a rotational base, just to say non-permanent base in Darwin, Australia. Now they're trying to get one from the Chinese in Camran Bay, and they're negotiating with the Philippines about reopening one of the bases that we had there until 20 years ago. That would put U.S. forces moving around right over that territory for the Chinese.
You'll have to forgive me, since my ability to judge what is, in fact, mind-blowing is particularly impaired this year politically.
Yes.
Yeah.
For us all.
Right, exactly. The Pacific Trade Pact is all of a sudden on the table in the sense that every candidate has disavowed it, including Hillary Clinton, because of pressure from Bernie Sanders. Does that affect Obama on this trip? Is there any way of reassuring the Chinese, or do they understand that all bets are off?
Well, the Chinese are not a participant to the Pacific Trade, the TPP. Part of the argument that President Obama has been making is that the U.S. should wrap all of the countries in the region. There are 12 countries that negotiated this deal so that the Chinese aren't setting the rules. Because if the deal goes down, the Chinese will attempt something of their own and their trade in the region is greater than ours. We've got the odd situation here for countries like Vietnam, where the Vietnamese have basically signed on to this deal and are busy trying to change some laws that they've had in their own parliament so that they would be in compliance with it. For President Obama, his only chance of getting this through was in a lame duck session after the election. He's going to have just a few weeks to thread the needle here.
And so the Chinese could, if this doesn't go through, be in a position of having the upper hand on trade. And you've also got a significant evolution in the defense posture if South Korea and Japan are going to have to pay for their defense under the sort of Trump idea, something that might actually be picked up by the Democrats.
I lived in Japan, as you know, John, for many years. And even back then, the Japanese paid more for troop support than almost any country that the U.S. deals with. In fact, they pay more than $2 billion a year. And so it's not the first time we've heard this argument. And that isn't to say that the Japanese couldn't or shouldn't pay more. But the fact of the matter is that let's say you picked up those troops and moved them back to Guam or someplace in the mainland United States and said to the Japanese, sorry, we're not doing this anymore. It would cost us more to base the troops on American territory than it's costing us now to base them in Japan.
David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, David.
Great to be with you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.